Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to you.
Good morning and welcome to your Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr and I am super excited. We are joined by Dr. Ben McMillan from the Neal Clinic. Good morning.
Good morning, Jenna. Thank you. And like she said, my name is Dr. Ben McMillan and I've got a lot to get to today for today's show. So let's jump right into it. For today's show, I'm going to cover some fundamentals of chiropractic care. And, you know, I'm guilty of taking a lot of these for granted at times, well, because I'm a chiropractor and I deal with these all the time. But many people out there may not really, you know, have ever been to a chiropractor. And, you know, maybe they've never been to a chiropractic clinic, or if they have been, maybe they didn't take the time to ask their chiropractor. This was on my mind this week in particular because last week I had a patient who was completely new to chiropractic care, and she'd been bounced from doctor to doctor and, you know, just trying to get some relief and figure out what was causing her pain until one of her doctors recommended that she go get checked out by a chiropractor, and they referred her to my clinic. So when she first came in, again, this was her very first time ever into a chiropractor's office, so she had a few questions, and I actually get some of these questions pretty often. So I thought I'd go over a couple of those today. You know, that also got me thinking, you know, how many people in the U.S. on average, you know, seek out chiropractic care? And I apparently was not the only one that had this question. Gallup, the guys that do all those polling surveys and questions, they had actually done a poll about chiropractic care, how many people have gone to chiropractors. Jenna, what do you think the percentage of the U.S. adult population that has ever been to a chiropractor before is?
Man, I really want to hope, like, have high hopes about that number just because I love chiropractic care. So I'm going to go, all right, I'm going to go medium, 65%.
Close.
Oh, yes. It's about half.
About half of the U.S. adult population has been to see a chiropractor before. But that also leaves another half that have never been. Don't know much about it. And so there's a good chance, you know, that some of our listeners out there probably have some of these similar questions. And if you are one of those listeners that does happen to have a chiropractic question this morning, send us a text message. Jenna will get it to me, and I'll do my very best to get to it this morning if I have time, and we'll answer that your question live on the air today. What's the number that they send those into again?
Please, if you do have a question, please chime into the show. You can text 850-437-1620.
And I know I also talk a lot about the activator method of adjusting, and I'm sure that's something many of our listeners may not know about as well, so I'm going to cover what that is in just a few minutes. But first, let's get into those questions that I get from patients that are new to chiropractic care, because again, at some point, all of us were new to chiropractic care, and the healthcare world is a very confusing place to be sometimes. So let's get into a few of those questions and see if we can't clear up some of these common issues and questions that I get. The first one let's get into is, how do you even get in to see a chiropractor? You know, do I have to have a referral to see a chiropractor? Now, I know the patient that I spoke about earlier, she actually was referred by her primary care doctor to my clinic. However, you do not have to have a referral to see your chiropractor. We're what is called a portal of entry doctor. And that means that, number one, there's no referrals necessary to come into our clinics. You can just pick up the phone, call me, and come in. It's that simple. And if I determine, you know, during the course of your consultation that your condition is actually not a chiropractic condition, I have the ability to refer you out to a medical specialist that will be able to treat you. And that makes things so much less complicated. Because, you know, if you're having some pain in your shoulder that's traveling down into your arm or hand, and you begin to Google these symptoms, you're going to end up with pages and pages of potential diagnoses, and there's a huge range, right? You're going to have things from, well, you're currently having a heart attack, or some rare tumor could be causing this, all the way down to stuff like carpal tunnel. And now you're not sure what type of doctor to see. Do you need to go to the cardiologist, the oncologist, a neurologist? So, look, just do yourself a favor. If you're having some sort of musculoskeletal problem, go see an expert that knows how to distinguish between all these conditions. Call your chiropractor. And like I said earlier, that consultation is my time to sit down with you, and I'll assess what your symptoms are and determine if it's something I can help with, or if I'm going to need to refer you to another type of doctor to get care. Another big one I see, do I have to have an x-ray to see a chiropractor, or do I have to get x-rayed when I go to the chiropractor? This is an easy answer. No. Well, I guess, well, maybe it's not that easy. It's more of a no but kind of answer. Sure, there's going to be some circumstances that I'm going to need to refer you out for imaging after our consultation. You know, sometimes if I think you may have a fracture or I'm concerned about a potential tumor, but typically these things are going to have some really distinct signs that are going to raise some red flags, and I'll send you out to get that x-ray or MRI. It's actually a pretty simple process these days. But for the majority of cases that I see every day, there isn't really a need to get that x-ray or MRI on the first visit. Now, some patients have already had some imaging taken, and they'll bring those in a lot of times. They'll ask, hey, do I need to bring a copy of this x-ray or this imaging report? Yeah, of course. That's really helpful and really useful information. I'll read those and go over the important parts of these reports, because if any of you have ever tried to read one of these things, you know, they may as well be written in a completely different language. So I'll explain the parts of the report that are actually important and may be contributing to your condition and some things that you need to be aware of. Again, because very rarely do I have people come in and say, hey, I have this spondylosis in this area of my lower spine. It's the lumbar segments, L4. They just say, hey, I saw my doctor. They said I have this problem at L4. I don't know where that is, what it is. Can you help me? And so I go over those with patients and, you know, explain it in a little more understandable terms. That's a pretty popular thing that happens in the consultations. Another one I get all the time, people call and is chiropractic care covered by insurance, right? We all pay tons of money for those insurance policies. People want to know, is it going to help them when they come into the clinic? Unlike the x-ray question, this one doesn't have an easy answer, but most major medical insurances have some form of chiropractic coverage. But, you know, there's thousands of different policies, and they all have their own little specific benefits and coverage. But even Medicare covers chiropractic care. You know, I'm in network with lots of different insurance companies, including Medicare. And at the Neal Clinic, what we do is we verify that insurance coverage before we begin any treatment or exam. That way, you know, you understand what your coverage is, what your benefits are going to be, because like I said, all those policies are different. So bring your insurance cards. We'll verify that and go over it if I decide your case is a chiropractic case to begin with. Another one I want to talk a little bit about today. We'll get into it a lot more on the next show, but I get this question a lot as well. My doctor told me I have nerve pain. Is that something chiropractors treat? Absolutely is the answer for that. One of the primary areas most chiropractors treat and what most people think of is the spine, right? Your spine is composed of those 24 vertebrae that are going to surround your spinal cord. The spinal cord has these nerve roots that exit through small holes between the vertebrae at almost every level. And these nerves can become highly irritated if one of those joints is not moving properly. And well, this nerve irritation can result in a variety of symptoms, and really none of them are very pleasant. And if any of you out there listening have ever had this nerve pain or this nerve irritation, you know, if you've had that misfortune of that shooting pain down your leg, or maybe some tingling that feels like it begins around your shoulder and goes all the way down into your arm or hand, you need to get a chiropractic opinion about your case, because we may be able to help you out. You know, what else do chiropractors treat? I'm sure when most people are going to be considering going to a chiropractor, it's because of that, you know, achy back or some neck pain and stiffness. That's a really common one, right? Everybody kind of thinks chiropractor when they think those symptoms. But we really treat the entire musculoskeletal system. I've helped patients suffering with jaw pain from TMJ dysfunction, or patients that are runners and from time to time they have their knees that are bothering. I've recently seen a lot of shoulder injuries as well. The point is, chiropractors treat more than just your achy back. Sometimes your joint injury may require surgery, but if it doesn't, and you've tried some rest and the anti-inflammatories and steroids from your primary care doctor aren't really helping, you need to see your chiropractor if they can help you out. Again, if it's not something that we can help with, we'll refer you where you need to go, because if it's not something we can help with, we don't need to have you in our clinic. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned I wanted to go over the activator method that I use at the Neil Clinic. And the last question I get commonly, it's more of a concern, and it kind of really addresses that and ties in pretty well. So let's get into that. The concern I get is, you know, I've been having this neck pain, but I've seen some videos of chiropractors online and I'm nervous to have my neck popped, right? That's one of the most common ones. I'm just a little nervous about what exactly this is. We've all seen those action movies where Jason Bourne twists someone's head and then that person falls motionless onto the floor, right? Well, like most things in the movies, not entirely accurate. So what do those videos actually show where a chiropractor has their hands on someone's neck and they give a quick thrust and, you know, you hear that popping sound? That maneuver is a type of manual spinal manipulation. Many people that have been to a chiropractor will understand what I'm talking about when I say that term, spinal manipulation or spinal adjusting, but what exactly is it? You know, how does that help you? The chiropractic spinal manipulation is actually the application of a controlled force to a joint in order to reestablish normal articular function. That's going to restore mobility and the range of motion within a joint, right? At the most basic level, a joint with limited range of motion may not seem like it's going to cause pain or really have any lasting effects on the body. But again, like most things out there, there's more to it than that. Your chiropractor affects your body's physiology, and they actually promote healing by correcting those mechanical joint dysfunction. The joint dysfunction begins initially with that, you know, lack of range of motion. That's one of the first changes that occurs, but over time results in this physiological change within and around that joint. It begins to have inflammation, and the loss of range of motion are some of the first signs. But those can lead to pain and muscle spasms and nerve irritation, and that's actually beginning to damage the joint cartilage. And if you ever have heard me mention that downward spiral of degenerative problems, that's what I'm talking about. And I'll come back to this in a little bit. Now, there's really only two methods to accomplish this joint manipulation. You can use your hands, which is called manual manipulation, or you can use a tool or an instrument, which is kind of generically just called instrument-assisted adjusting. The goal is the same for both methods: get the joint to move properly. In order to achieve this goal, the thrust must be a very specific amount of force used, right? Too little force is not going to cause any damage, but it's not going to be therapeutic. While on the other end of that spectrum, too much force can actually sprain the ligaments supporting the joint or damage the joint. So knowing the relative amount of force required for each joint is an essential skill that your chiropractor has honed in over years of training and practice. And of course, you know, add into the mix that our patients come in all different shapes and sizes, and that's going to add even more complexity to that method. After years of adjusting patients manually, the chiropractic profession began to use a variety of tools and methods that were kind of designed to mimic the effects of the manual adjustment, but to increase the specificity and reduce that variance between each chiropractor's adjustments. The activator is one of those instruments, and it was initially designed in the late 1960s, so this thing's been around for a while. And the activator continues to be an integral part of the treatments at the Neal Clinic. You know, Dr. Charles Neal started using this thing in the 1980s is when he first began using it. What is the activator? The activator is this handheld kind of spring-loaded instrument that applies a really specific amount of force in the direction that it's positioned. Just like everything, right, as technology and research has advanced over time, so has this activator. The current versions of the tool, they have the ability to change the level of thrust or the amount of force. Another big advantage to using these tools or an instrument is the size of the area where the force is applied. I'm 6'3", I've got big hands. It would be impossible for me to adjust only one thoracic or lumbar vertebra level at a time with just my hands, right? I'm contacting several levels all at once and applying a force through the entire area that I'm contacting. However, with the activator, they designed this tip to be the perfect size, where it's large enough to deliver enough force on the contact point, but small enough to only contact one vertebral level at a time. Now, this is a big advantage. You know, first of all, because the force being applied is to a smaller surface area, you don't need as much force. And that can make this thing much more comfortable, a much more comfortable experience. You'll have less soreness after those adjustments sometimes. Another advantage that I'm able to have with using the activator is because I'm able to precisely contact just one vertebral level at a time, I'm able to treat patients that have had these spinal fusions or some other type of spinal injury that may be contraindicated for manual adjusting. You know, if you've had this fusion and you have a big cage or you have scoliosis and you've got these big rods, they may not want you trying to move those with the force of some of these manual manipulations. But with the activator, I go over the x-rays. I know exactly which level you have fused, and I can work above and below that because those are the joints that are going to have a lot more stress placed on them now that you've had those surgeries. And that's one of the big advantages, is that I'm able to treat a much broader spectrum of patients with these instruments. Some of the patients that I see at the Neal Clinic, they suffer from osteoporosis or osteopenia. You know, that's where their bones have become less dense as they aged. The manual adjustments for these patients come with a much higher risk of potentially fracturing a bone or a rib or one of their vertebra. But because I control the exact amount of force with the activator, I'm able to safely and effectively treat these patients with spinal manipulations. But again, whether I use my hands to perform manual manipulations or the activator method of adjusting, the goal is still the same: to restore that proper function and alignment of the joint. Okay, let's circle back to one of the topics we talk a lot on here about. Let's get back to that downward spiral for a few more minutes before I run out of time. You know, I mentioned earlier one of the first signs of joint dysfunction could be a lack of range of motion. But, you know, I'll tell you, very, very few patients come into my clinic and say, you know, hey, doc, I've noticed a 5-degree reduction in my left cervical rotation. Do you think this is something you could help me with? That has never happened. I don't ever expect it will happen. Instead, what I typically see happen is this reduction in range of motion goes unnoticed, or, you know, maybe even if you do notice it, most people don't think much about it. And so that joint stays in this dysfunctional state. Your body's physiological response to this is the production of this inflammatory reaction. As time goes on, this inflammation continues to build, and you may begin to experience some pain in that kind of local area, some tenderness when you press there. You know, maybe the muscles are beginning to tighten up in that region, and that's when I start to see patients, right? Many of our patients present with this tightness, maybe a sharp pain with certain movements, and those are all pretty clear indicators of some joint dysfunction. However, if you don't treat this, if this is left untreated, this joint will begin to break down faster than the surrounding functional joints. In a few years, the body's going to have laid down some new bone, some ligaments are going to begin to calcify, and that's all to try and stabilize and support the joint, which is typically not a good thing. This newly formed bone has formed what's called a bone spur, or they call them osteophytes or spondylophytes. There's a ton of words for these things, depending on where it is or how it's formed, but these things can cause a lot of discomfort depending on where they are. And that's why I call this degenerative cycle. That's why I call it the downward spiral. Again, because initially, this problem really didn't start out too bad. No permanent changes in your spine, but if you've continued to let this spiral out of control, you know, these joints are eventually going to break down. And I can help alleviate some of the symptoms for like severely degenerated joints and help these joints from continuing to get worse once they've already become really arthritic. But you know what? There's no undoing those degenerative changes without a very invasive surgery. And most of my patients don't come in and say, you know, I'm really looking forward to having a really big invasive back operation. Can you send me out that way? That's not something that I've ever had anybody come in and tell me. They say, hey, is this something that we can treat before I have to go get that surgery? Do yourself a big favor. Don't be the patient that comes to me in years after you've had an injury or accident. Go get checked out by a professional and stop that downward spiral before it ever has a chance to begin. We just had a patient text in a question. Do you treat pain in ankles and knees? Absolutely, yes. Ankles I don't see all that often. It does occur. Typically, those are more just ankle sprains. But the knees I see all the time. Knees are a big weight-bearing joint. Not quite like the elbow, right? Kind of similar joint, but not as much pressure placed on your elbows as those knees. Knees are with us every step of the way, I guess you could say. A lot of stress put on those. So yes, there's a lot we can do to help with some knee pain. Again, this is one of those things where during the consultation, I have a lot of questions about how this is kind of began. Is this strictly an arthritic thing? Is this something where maybe you have one injury? Did you hear a loud popping or snapping when this knee pain began? Do we need to get some imaging? Have you ever had any knee surgeries? I see a lot of patients that have had knee replacements. A lot of patients have these meniscus tears. That's a really, really common one. But, you know, the meniscus tear sometimes is not something that is surgical. There's some exercises, some rehab stuff that unless you're an NFL running back and you're making millions of dollars running very, very quickly, you know, if those NFL running back days are behind you, there's a lot we can do before you have to have surgery that may help you with your knee pain so you never have to have that operation. Again, anytime that you're having these big invasive operations, there's risks. There's risks with most medical procedures. So that's kind of the world that we work in of trying to avoid those situations. And of course, yes, some things are going to require surgery, but come into that consultation and let's see if there's something that we can do to help. That's all I have to go through for this week's show, but I'm actually pretty excited for the next show as well. I've got a really exciting announcement about a new therapy that I've been wanting to add at the Neil Clinic for quite a while and have finally been able to get everything in place. I'll talk a lot more about it next time, but the Neil Clinic now offers dry needling as an adjunctive therapy to help you heal even faster. You ever heard of dry needling, Jenna?
No, I am very intrigued though.
Yeah, it's very similar to, you know, kind of traditional acupuncture, but slightly different. I'll go over that a whole lot more next week. Also next week I had down that I wanted to talk a lot more kind of about that nerve pain or radicular pain, some of the symptoms, causes, and that's actually going to probably end up turning into at least two shows because there's a lot to get through on that topic. And not a lot of people come in and know what radiculopathy is. They see, again, on these imaging reports about all that. But that's really, that's all I have for this week, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan. I own the Neil Clinic located on Creighton Road. We're right across the street from Walmart. If you're having pain and want to get a professional chiropractic opinion, give me a call at 479-SPINE, and Danielle or Carol will get you on the schedule for your consultation. I got one last thing before I get off the air this morning. I know my dad's at home listening today, and today is his birthday, so I wanted to wish him a very happy birthday. I wouldn't be where I am today without him, so happy birthday, Dad. And now we're headed over to Mark for the news.